Hey there, everybody. It's Barbara Rosgoni, and welcome to Success Hackers, where we talk about ways to make your life better, your career more exciting, and your life more vibrant with ideas and tips from people who are passionate about all that they do. I'm Barbara Rosgoni, as I said. My co-host is Jeff Willinger, and today we have a special co-host that's stepping in for Jeff, and that's Amy Hesser. Hi, Amy.
Hi there, Barbara. Thanks for having me as your guest host today. I'm excited about our guest, too, so I'll let you introduce him without further ado.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I am very excited because we have Mel Doerr on with us today, and Mel is a decorated psychic. He's seen a lot of people in his esteemed and distinguished career. And what's really cool is he's received a papal blessing for Pope John Paul II and a letter of appreciation from President Clinton for his work with governmental agencies. He's appeared on numerous local and national television shows, and he's done readings with many celebrities. So, Mel, it's wonderful to have you on the program. And I know as someone who works with business owners and communicators, we're always looking for what we should do, and sometimes I wonder how we should see the future because everyone wants to know what's going to happen next. And if you could give us a little bit of your perspective on who you are a little bit more deeper and what you do, that'd be great.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. It's my pleasure to be there. Well, basically, you know, I have been an intuitive, well, my entire life, and I've been doing this work longer than most people have age, over 40 years. But I specialize in forensics, and I got my blessing from Pope John Paul II, or now St. John Paul, for my work with missing children and helping to locate them. So I did a lot of forensic work, and a lot of this was people coming for intuitive sessions about the future, this and that. And then there were a lot of people out there that were practitioners, and they wanted to be psychic, but they didn't want to call it psychic, so they started calling it life coaching. And I thought, wait a minute here, that was kind of bogus to me. Mm-hmm. But as things kind of progressed in my career, I noticed that there were a lot of business people coming in who wanted to start businesses or who had a business and they had issues with the business. And I started thinking about the words ESP, extrasensory perception, and then it hit me, what I really am doing is intuitive strategic planning, ISP. So I coined the term ISP, and I started consulting with people in business and how to grow their business or how to take it to the next level or ways to branch it out. And then I started applying that same process to people's personal lives, which I had done for years of my psychic work. And so it just evolved, and, you know, here we are. And as a result, I mean, I get business owners from all over. In fact, there's a very large chain. I don't know if I can mention the name on the air, but it's a competitor to Kmart.
Okay.
and they come to me often for intuitive strategic planning as far as their businesses are concerned. I mean people from all walks of life, politicians, you know, judges, doctors, you know, corporate owners, and much of this is about, you know, people doing their next chapter, growing their life, growing their business. So that's how it all got started in a nutshell.
Wow, that's really exciting.
And Mel, can you tell us a little bit about how you work exactly with these folks? We know that you're based in suburban Chicago, physically based here. Do you ever work with people over the phone, over Skype? Or does it have to be in person?
Yes, I do, in fact, because a lot of times people can't be here, you know. And so, I do work with people over the phone. And people will ask me, you know, if I would do like Skype or FaceTime or things like that. And I was like, well, you know, I like phone work as opposed to, you know, Skype or FaceTime, because it's like radio. I find radio really intimate. And mm-hmm. I think when you're working with somebody and they can hear your voice but not necessarily see your face, I think that leaves a lot of openings for the imagination. And I think it really enhances that creative process. So, yes, in answer to your question, I do phone work a great deal.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. That's you can really kind of fill in the blanks when you do the voice only. So I have a question for you. With people who are trying to reinvent themselves, what is the biggest mistake you see that people are making, and how can they fix it? For example, I know we had one guest who started out thinking they were going to produce major events, and when they started looking at the expense involved and just the time, it seemed like that wasn't really going to be the best opportunity for them. And then what they did is they turned them into internet online events, which worked out really well. So what do you see frequently that people need to be aware of or change?
Well, I think number one, they need to be flexible. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times people get just hung up parenthetically, and this is what I have to do, and da-da-da-da-da. And they get so hung up in the process, and then they forget to look at the outcome. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get hung up into something that one of my students called analysis paralysis. You know, oh, what if I do this wrong? What if that doesn't work? And what if? You know, then it becomes, you know, fear-based. So I tell people, you have to be flexible. Just like your client that said, oh, you know, rather than this, let me do it this way. And he or she is essentially doing the same thing, right? Just a different venue, a different way to do it. So part of what I tell people is be flexible. The other part is to listen to that intuition. And that intuition is that first thought, that first feeling, that first idea that comes through. And a lot of people, you know, don't want to hear that. And they ignore it. And that is our radar. That's our internalized guidance system. And that's what is put there. I think it's instinctual in all of us. So I tell them they have to really trust that. And that's a big challenge to get people to do that. So those are some of the little formulas I use.
Well, that's great. So be flexible. Listen to that first voice that comes up. So stop thinking about plan B, C, D. Just go with plan A.
Exactly. And but it doesn't always have to be going with plan A exactly as plan A says. You know, you have to be flexible enough to incorporate other things in that. And in so doing, you know, and so you try something, and if it doesn't work out the way you thought it would, that's not a failure. The failure is in not doing.
Oh, now this is, if you're listening to this and that's the only thing you take out of it, say that again, Mel.
I said, if you try something, and if it's not successful or if it doesn't work out the way you thought it would, that's not a failure. The failure is in not doing.
Ooh, very profound.
You know, how many really successful people, you know, have had things that didn't work out the way they thought, but they didn't stop. They kept going. And became successful and being able to step out of the box. One of my favorite stories is the Wrigley story. And Wrigley was a soap salesman, right? And he would sell soap.
Mm-hmm.
But when he would sell these bars of soap, he would give them this little stick of stuff he called chewing gum. Well, people hated the soap, but the reason they bought it was because they wanted the gum. So one day he said he collected the feedback and he said, I don't want to sell this soap anymore. That's not what they want. They want the gum. And he started making the gum. And there, you know, at the end of the day, it was a success story. So if he would have told himself, I'm a failure because the soap nobody liked it, it didn't work, blah, 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 he would have never become what he did. He was just smart enough to redefine it.
Exactly.
And, you know, sorry, Margaret, I had a quick question, too. That great story makes me want to ask you, you know, what can our listeners take away from this interview today in terms of what can they do on their own to get more in touch with that intuition, that part of themselves that leads them to make the right leaps?
Well, number one is we get over the fear. I tell people, don't let the fear stand in front of you. Let it get behind you and push you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
All right. And back to my example, if I would have gotten hung up in, oh, I had open heart surgery and I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this because I have coronary artery disease, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as opposed to people telling themselves what they can't do, they need to tell themselves what they can do and what they will do.
Right.
So rather than me saying, you know, and to honor that first thought, that first idea, that first feeling that comes through, that is truly intuition. All right? So we're all going to get hung up in that analysis paralysis, but we need to step back from that and say, wait a minute, let me get back to that first thing that came through, and let me enhance that. So that would be the advice I would give people.
That's great advice. And what I want to ask you is, how do you capture that first thought?
Well, number one is to pay attention to it. And I tell people, you know, there are a lot of ways to do it. Pencil and paper, old-fashioned, jot it down, you know. And chances are people know they hang on to that first thought. And the sessions we do, when we revisit that, I'll say, okay, so you had the right thought. You had the right idea. What caused you to deviate from it?
Mm-hmm.
And their response almost 99% of the time is, I was afraid it wouldn't work.
Oh, okay.
You see. So.
So now, in addition to using those tips for people to work on this themselves, what are some ways that people can work with you, because you have so much to offer? What are some of the ways they can get help with you?
Well, one of the things I think that happens with the intuition is to give them the affirmation, okay, that, yeah, this will work. No, this might not. Oh, yeah, this will, okay? Number two is the affirmation of what is success. Okay, to me, success is defined as how happy you are in what you're doing, not necessarily money in the bank. We all need that, but I think one leads to the other. You know, the other is, let's remove the obstacles. Let's open those chakras, those energy points, okay? And part of it is being a psychic, is predicting. You know, here's my prediction for the outcome. If you do A, then there's this prediction. If you do B, then here's a prediction. If you do C, here's a prediction. And to say that nothing necessarily is set in stone. The future's really mutable. And it's like a fire hose swinging wildly. And my job is to focus that stream of water and get them to stay focused on it, you see. So it's a whole process when people come here. You know, it's something I can talk about. It's and just to let people, you know, be self-actualizing, if you will, I think, you know, in their business as well. So, you know, those are the things that I like to offer.
And you also have classes at a center here, and
yes.
You're on the board. You want to tell us about that?
I'm on the board of directors at Infinity Foundation, not a car dealer. they're the leading center for health and holistic education in the Midwest. And so I do classes there on intuitive development, intuitive strategic planning. I've studied Native American shamanism, Hawaiian kahunaism, so I throw some of those elements in. And I say that I can't teach anyone to be psychic or intuitive. What I can do is show people ways to hook into their intuition, you know, because we all have it. In addition, I teach classes at my office here in Mount Prospect, Illinois. So, at Infinity, I teach once a month, and here at the office, usually once a month or once every other month. So I really enjoy teaching as well.
And Mel, how can people find out more about your classes at the Infinity Foundation, which is in Highland Park, Illinois, correct?
Correct. Well, if they want to go on that website, they can go on to infinityfoundation.org, okay? And if they want to find out my classes here, I'm in the process of revamping my website. But if they want to find out about, you know, my rates and my classes here, they can dial the office number 847-590-5411. Again, 847-590-5411.
And now I have to ask this question. How did you find out you were a psychic? Is this something that started in childhood? It's kind of fascinating to the rest of us.
Well, that's a question that I'm asked very often. you know, from the time I was a child, it's something I could do, and I thought that most people could do it. I thought it was pretty normal. And my father was very intuitive, and he would have dreams that would come true. And I remember one of the first things that ever hit me as a psychic, I think I was 7 years old when I came home from school. I said to my mom, I feel like that my grandfather died. And she started crying, and she said, yeah, he had passed away that day. You know, so I just didn't know the term psychic or intuitive to put on it. I didn't learn that word until I was 13. And I started doing my readings professionally when I was 18 years old, and I'll be 61 next week. So I've been doing it a long time. I went to college,
wow,
and I finished my classwork for my doctorate in neuropsychology many, many years ago because I was interested in ESP and wondering how it worked, and still wondering about that. I think quantum physics probably describes it, does the best to try to explain it. So it's something I've done my entire life, you know, and for me it was just very normal and very natural. And what I try to tell people is it doesn't have to be something so out in left field. It's something that we all have and something that we can utilize.
If I could jump in real quick, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I knew you'd be okay. I told him you were all right.
This was sort of a little truthfully, this was a little quiz for you. One, to see if you could detect that I was on the line. And two, if you could really, just in talking to me briefly, why I was a little bit late today.
Well, I don't know, but
no pressure.
I just tell people I got caught by a train.
Well, you know what? That is beyond hilarious. I am literally sitting at a train stop right now in the suburbs.
Okay.
Really?
However, that is not the reason why I was late, but that is pretty cool that you even mentioned a train. You could have said anything, but literally I'm sitting at a train stop right now.
So yeah, actually I felt train, so that might not be the reason you're late. But that's how this intuition works. It's like, you know, here's what comes through, and it's about honoring that first thing that comes through and not to be afraid to let it out.
That was pretty cool. You could have said anything, and you said train, and I really could have been anywhere. But it just so happens that this train stop is down and there's a long freight train. That is pretty good.
Well, yeah. you're on the line now, so yay.
Great. So you know what? The questions that were asked, when did you decide that you thought that you were going to be, a psychic? And you just answered that. And I'm fascinated by the work that you do. So we're thrilled to have you on. And just real quick, I'm sure there are psychics and then there are people like you that really become successful. Maybe you could give our listeners one or two tips. You actually just gave us a tip a few minutes ago with going with your first intuition. But is there anything else that you could really maybe pass on to our listeners that would
well,
be
Well, I think
a
part
tip?
Of it is, I think part of it is to be tenacious. You know, I've done radio, I've done television, and, you know, we pitched some TV shows that didn't sell, and, you know, don't call us, we'll call you, that kind of thing. But just don't give up. You know, if you have a good idea, stick with it. Just because you get a few doors slammed in your face doesn't mean it's a bad idea. You know, we were just ahead of our time. And if you have an idea, act on it, because if you don't, chances are somebody else is going to come up with it. So, you know, I think part of success is wherewithal. I really do. And I see so many people that want to give up. And part of what I do is to say, no, don't give up, you know. So that would be another tip, a huge tip I would give to our listeners.
Oh, I love that. You know, I think of the Rocky story, how many doors got slammed in Sylvester Stallone's face years and years ago. When he was marketing, you know, when he was running door to door, literally hundreds of people slammed the door in his face, and there would not be Rocky today if it wasn't for his tenacity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, tenacity can be fun. It can be very frustrating, you know, and when Guy was handing out patients, I stood in the attitude line, so I'm not patient, or at least that's what they tell me. But I am tenacious, that's for sure. So
this
I never tell people be patient, but tenacious, yes.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Very good tips. Very good tips. I think this has been just a wonderful show. Maybe you could predict how many listeners we're going to have for it in the future.
Well, I do predict this, and we talked about this earlier before we started broadcasting, is that at some point I do feel it will go live, and having a lot of call-ins, you know, people calling in to ask questions. And so I really think that I can say you all, because I'm from the South originally. I grew up on a tobacco farm in Kentucky. So I think that you all should stick with this, because I see it and feel it as being really successful. Successful means numerous listeners. Success meaning take it to the next level. And it looks kind of like you all are trying to get your arms around that, but you will. And I just love Success Hackers. I love the name. So, yay.
Boy,
well,
what a great way to wrap up. Yeah, what a great way to wrap up an amazing podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me. It's been my sincere pleasure, and I really, really feel honored to be on your show.
And Barb, maybe you could tell everyone one more time how to find this lovely podcast.
Well, our podcast is, you can look for the hashtag Success Hackers on Twitter. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and if you'd like to ask a question, you can reach Jeff on Twitter at jwillie, J-W-I-L-L-I-E, or me at Wired PR Works, which is W-I-R-E-D-P-R Works. And Mel, if you want to check out Mel Doerr, it's meldoerr.com. Amy Hesser, you've been great. Thank you so much for being a fill-in co-host for a few minutes. And Amy's at Amy Hesser on Twitter.
My pleasure.
Great.
Thank you for having me today. It was really exciting to hear everything you brought to the table for us today, Mel.
Thank you. Thank all of you. As I said, it was my honor.
Great. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All righty.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye, everyone.
I hope you stopped recording.